And because of him, we have this eternal presence that we can't lose, Lord. Sometimes we don't feel you, Lord, but just because we don't feel you does not mean that you're not there with us, Lord. And we draw into that promise, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people together said, amen, amen.
I'm a little concerned right now about your salvation and stuff. How come you have not been baptized?
Because I never got around to it, okay? I don't know why you always have to be judging me. Because I only believe in science.
But tonight, we are going up against Satan's cavemen. And I just thought it would be a good idea if you... Felicidades.
You know, I heard that, and I'm concerned about your salvation and stuff. I'm like, what is the stuff that he's talking about, you know? And all of a sudden, you know, just, you know, baptizes him right there and then. It's a funny scene where, what, se persina, you know, that he's doing that thing, and then boom. Now this morning, we're not going to do that to you. And there's something different we're going to do as it relates to baptism. If you might have noticed this trough in front of me, and it's full of water, and we're going to have some people this morning get baptized. And it's going to be a moment for us to really celebrate the act of baptism. Now, we got to be realistic too. You know, there's a lot of you, a lot of us that have different religious backgrounds, right? Some of you may have come from a Lutheran background, Catholic background like myself, or you know, Baptist background, Methodist. This morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put us all on the same page in a sense, you know. We're going to look at what Scripture says about baptism, and hopefully we'll have some understanding at least of where we're coming from here at Two Rivers and how we approach baptism and what we believe about baptism. And so having said that, I want you to go to your Bibles, either your electronic Bible or your paper Bible, and I want you to go to Acts chapter 8, verse 35. Chapter 8, verse 35. And as you go there, I want to give you the context. I want to give you a glimpse of what this passage is all about and what's going on in this passage. You have two characters here, two historical characters that you're going to be introduced to. One of them is an Ethiopian man who knows about God, he's heard about God, and he's going to Jerusalem to worship this God. He knows some stuff about God, and he's going from Ethiopia, where he is the CFO, the chief financial officer of the queen there. And this guy, he's affluent, he's got a lot of money. You know that because he's riding on a chariot. He's not walking there, he's not running there, he's not taking a donkey or a horse, he's taking a chariot. And a chariot would have been something that the affluent people of the day would have been using, and that's what he's using. He's going out there, he's going to Jerusalem to go worship this God that he's heard about, and he worships a God of a distance, a God of a distance. And in his road, in his journey to Jerusalem to go worship God, he has the Bible with him. He has a piece of paper that has the book of Isaiah in there. He's got some parchments with Isaiah mentioned in there. And so he's taking this parchment and he's reading the letter of Isaiah or the book of Isaiah, and he's going to get confused in the process. Now, during that day, when people read scripture or read any type of literature, they would read out loud. And that's important for today's historical account that we're going to go over, because he's reading this scripture and he's reading it out loud as somebody's taking him to Jerusalem to worship God. So that's the one character I want to introduce you to. And the other one is it's another character, a disciple. His name is Philip. Now, Philip puts his faith in Jesus Christ early on, and as soon as he does, he catches the fire. He is passionately about pursuing God, and he's all about God. And the difference between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch is that the Ethiopian eunuch knows about God, but Philip, he actually knows God. That's the difference. In the one hand, this guy over here, he's heard about him. He even goes and prays to him. But over here, Philip, he knows him from a very personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And he hears an angel who says, I want you to go to Gaza. I want you to go to that region over there. He doesn't ask questions. He doesn't say, well, why? You know, what's going to happen there? He just goes. Have you ever been in a situation where God says, or he speaks to your heart and he says, I want you to go there. And you're like, but why? And he doesn't give you the why. This was kind of happening here. Philip is the same deal. An angel of God appears to him and says, I want you to go to Gaza. He goes to Gaza. And once he goes there, the Spirit of God moves in his heart and he says, go get near that chariot. And so he goes near the chariot. And again, what I mentioned, people read out loud during that time. And he encounters the Ethiopian eunuch, which he's coming from North Africa. And he hears him reading scripture. And then he hears him reading a passage from the book of Isaiah that talks about how there would be a man, that somebody would be murdered or killed, slaughtered like a lamb. And that it would be an unjust slaughter or murder. And he reads this passage, and as he's going in his chariot, and next to him now is Philip, and Philip just asks him out of nowhere, do you know what that means? And the Ethiopian eunuch, he looks back at him and he says, how can I know what it means if nobody's here to explain it? And then we get to verse 35. And I want you to go there with me. Chapter 8 of Acts, verse 35, because there's going to be a conversation here between Philip, who comes out of nowhere, by the way, and the eunuch from Ethiopia. It's going to be a conversation. It's going to be a very powerful conversation. In verse 35, we pick that up. And it says, then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told them the good news about Jesus. So the first thing that Philip does is he recognizes this man, that he has some understanding of Scripture, but he also recognizes that he really doesn't know God. He knows about God, but he really doesn't know him. And so what he does is he gives him the good news. And the good news is the good news of relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. The good news of being forgiven for your sin and Jesus leading you in your life. And he does that. He just introduces the good news to him. In verse 36, it says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Verse 37, and Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Notice he just says, you may. All you have to do is believe. And then he says, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, if you're looking at your scripture, and you might have noticed that there's some brackets there in that verse. And the reason there's some brackets there is because this verse is found in some of the later manuscripts, and this verse doesn't show up in all the old manuscripts, and that's why it's bracketed there. In verse 38, it says, and he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Where do they go? Down into the water. Where do they go? Down into the water. That's going to be important. And Philip baptized them. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. So here what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask three questions and answer them along the way. The first question is going to be a question of what. The second one is a question of how, and the question of what, and then the question of when. So the first question is this: how should I feel about baptism? How should I feel about baptism? In other words, when I hear about baptism, what kind of emotions should be elicited from my heart? How should I feel about the whole issue of baptism? We're going to see that in this passage. As a matter of fact, when you go to verse 36, we see it again. It says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? How should we feel about it? You should feel excited, not mortified. You should feel excited about it, not mortified. That's exactly what happens with the eunuch. He's not like, oh my gosh, do I have to do some things? I mean, he's like, when can I do this? He's excited about it. He doesn't say, man, do I have to? Like, really, do I have to get baptized? He's like, no. Man, when can I get to it? He's not ashamed of his new relationship that he has. Now he doesn't know God as a God of a distance. He knows God as a God of a personal relationship. And that's exciting for him. He's excited about it. And he wants to demonstrate this newfound relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants to share with everybody publicly, and that's why he wants to get baptized. He's excited. He's so excited inwardly that he wants to show it outwardly in baptism. I still remember growing up, you know, coming home when we would compete. I used to play the saxophone, come home and would bring my little medal, you know, first place, second place. And I still remember coming home, showing my mom and my dad, you know, I got first place. And that medal meant the world to me. At the time, of course, now I look at it and I'm like, oh, you know, not so much. But back then, I was so, so excited. And I couldn't wait to show that medal, that outward thing that demonstrated my excitement in here. And water baptism is this, it reflects a similar thing. It's like that medal that says something, I'm rejoicing inside of here. And when I get baptized out there, there is something unique that I'm showing. It's the medal that says, man, I am happy. I'm rejoicing. But the reality is that many people feel anxious for whatever reason. A lot of people feel like, well, I'm scared of water. I'm scared of Jesse dunking me because we know he doesn't know how to swim. So what if he falls in there? You know, I might be in trouble. And I don't know what kind of worries you have. Maybe it's insurance worries. Like, I didn't pay my life insurance. And I don't know if I can trust, you know, my pastor here. You might have a variety of different, all sorts of excuses or anxieties. But here we see that the Ethiopian didn't have any, did he? For him, it was an opportunity. For him, it was an excitement. Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized, he says. I liken it to what we see during a wedding. You know, more often than not, you know, when I officiate a wedding, I have a couple in front of me, and they really love each other. And, you know, that's the moment where it's like they're not fighting. You know, it's like they're still in cloud nine. They're out of the clouds by a week after that. But in that moment, when they're saying, yes, I do, it's like all the world fades away, right? All the world fades away. You're just thinking, you know, if you're the woman, you're thinking, oh, I've been dreaming of this since I was a little girl. And if you're a guy, you're thinking, man, I sure hope my father-in-law doesn't have the shotgun outside. You know, but it's an exciting moment, isn't it? And then you have the vows, and one of them says, I do, and the other one says, I think I do, oh, I do too, and they're happy. And then what is the next thing that is said? You may now what? Kiss the bride. And when you, once you hear those words, I can always see it because I'm in this angle that people are like, big eyes. They're hoping that this not like not a long one, you know, because that's awkward. They're hoping, like, it may it be short, please, you know? And so there's a kiss. Now, let me ask you a question. If they don't kiss each other, are they still married? Yes. Of course they are. The kiss is the icing in the cake, you know? The vows is the center of the cake. When they kiss, it's just the gravy. It's the bonus, you know? In the moment, it's the bonus. But really, the meat and the substance of it all is when they say, I do, and I do. That's the meat of a marriage. When there's a commitment to each other, and they're saying, I want to commit myself to you for the rest of my life. And she says, I want to commit myself to you for the rest of my life. The vow is the commitment. And that is very similar to baptism. That you, for those of you who have made a commitment to Jesus Christ, when you said, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin, and lead me, something special happened. There was an agreement. There was a commitment. There was a, we're in this together, God. Right? Baptism is like the kiss. It's like the kiss. It's the icing on the cake. It's saying, man, yes, I'm committed to God, but man, I want to show how committed I am by getting baptized. Number two, you should feel convicted, not apathetic about it. You should feel convicted, not apathetic about it. And the reason is because baptism is an act of obedience. That's what it is. Let me take you to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go there with me. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. And this is one of the situations where Jesus is looking at the disciples. It's one of the final words he's about to tell them. And he says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. And then there's two participles, and I'm going to go over the first one. It says, baptizing them. Doing what? Baptizing them. It says, the command is to go make disciples, but he says the way you make disciples is by baptizing them. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He says, go therefore and make disciples and baptizing them. So part of it is we should feel this conviction, this deep sense of, man, I want to obey God. I don't want to be disobedient to God. I want to obey him. And if God thinks that it's important for me to get baptized and demonstrate my love relationship with him publicly, then I want to do it because he commands me to do it. Number three, you should feel honored, not embarrassed. You should feel honored, not embarrassed. All too often, there's a sense of embarrassment, kind of, well, if it's public, I just, you know, I don't know. I don't do things public well. What if I trip? What if when this or that? And there's a certain sense of embarrassment. But we're going to see that really you should be honored. You should be honored. Because that's the way the Ethiopian saw it as. Go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. This is referring to Jesus. It says, after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. He came up from the water. In other words, he was dunked. He came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, the voice of the heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What was the response of the Father in heaven? He was what? Well pleased. Say it with me again like you mean it. He was what? Well pleased. Today we're going to see some children get baptized, and their parents are going to be well pleased. This is the moment that they've been looking forward for a long time, and they're going to be well pleased. But I want to tell you too that when we see a baptism, we also see a Father in heaven who is well pleased. We see a Father in heaven that is pleased and excited to see people get baptized. Notice that Jesus got baptized as an adult, not as an infant. When he was an infant, Jesus got dedicated. As an adult, he got baptized. He got baptized. So what does baptism mean? What does baptism mean? Following in verse 38, it says, and he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, so there's that picture of he's in the water, and they bring him out of the water. And we see a couple of things. The first one is this. Baptism is a beautiful picture of our identity in Christ. Baptism is a beautiful picture of our identity in Christ. You know, the word baptism in the Greek is baptismo, and baptismo in the original language was a word that was used when you grab cloth or clothing and they would dip it into water and they would put a dye in there and it would come out a different color. That's how they used the word back then, baptism. And the imagery is this, is that just like a piece of clothing, white clothing, goes inside a bucket of water with dye in it and it comes out a different color. And then you can't change that color. It can't go back to white again. That's exactly what happens when you put your faith in Jesus. And the water here is a picture of that. Just like clothing would go into water, come out a different color, it's the same thing. The water here, when you go in, it's a picture of going into the water, coming out, and just showing your new identity in Christ. The identity that already happened, by the way. It happened when you first put your faith in Jesus. All of a sudden, you were more than just, you know, a teacher or a mom, a business owner, a worker. All those labels we give each other. You became the son and daughter of the living God. You were identified with Jesus Christ. That it's no longer you who lives, but it is Him that lives through you. Your identity with Him is so intertwined, just like clothing in a bucket that comes out with a different color. So you too, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your forgiver and your leader, you were identified with Him. And your first identity is an identity of disciple. Wherever you work, you're a disciple. You're a son or a daughter of the living God. Baptism is a beautiful picture of our identity in Christ. It's a beautiful picture. Number two, it's also, baptism is a beautiful picture of Jesus' death and resurrection. It's a beautiful picture of Jesus' death and resurrection. If you notice, the eunuch went into the water and then he was brought out of the water. And it's a real picture. In Romans 6:4, it says this, "Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life." In other words, it's an outward evidence. Baptism is an outward evidence of an inward life transformation. That's what it is. And so when the person goes into the water, it's like going into the grave. And when the person comes out of the water, it's like raising out of the grave, just like Jesus did. And that's why we baptize people, because it's an imagery. It's an image that shows something that's profoundly different inside of you, that profoundly changed the point you said yes to Jesus. Number three, when should I be baptized? When should I be baptized? Let me tell you, it's quite simple. It's when you put your faith in Jesus. In verse 35 of the same book and chapter, 8:35, it says this, "Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?' And notice the response here. And Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.'" So what's the condition here? Believe. Did he say, "Oh, after you do X, Y, and Z, then you can get baptized"? He didn't, did he? And he didn't say, "Well, you got to go through, you know, all these seminars." Don't get me wrong, we do offer baptism seminars just so that you can understand it better. But he doesn't say you got to go through seminar 101 baptism and that's the only way you get to baptize some people. He doesn't say that at all. He just uses one simple condition. And that is that you believe in Jesus Christ, that He forgives you of your sin and He gives you leadership in your life, guidance in your life. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Is the Son of God. See, now that very moment, what he was saying is that no longer is God the God of a distance, that I go to Jerusalem and I praise Him and I sing to Him and I pray to Him, but yet He's a God of a distance. No longer is God a God of a distance. I'm like you, Philip, now, that when I go to worship Him, it's out of a relationship with God. It's not out of a knowledge that I know about Him, but it's out of an intimate, personal relationship with the God of the universe. And because he went from "I know about Him" to "I know Him," then and only then was he ready for baptism. He was ready for it. You know, many people say, "Well, I'm not good enough, Jesse. How can I ever be baptized? I'm not good enough." If you would have seen this last weekend, the things that I did, oh my gosh, Jesse, you'd turn red. And I probably would. But that's not the case here. That's not a condition. I hear so often, "But I'm not good enough. You know, I've had a very terrible life. I do terrible things." Well, guess what? As long as you put your faith in Jesus, It's always a fresh start. And baptism has nothing to do with the life that you've lived. Saturday has everything to do with the person that you've decided to say, I will follow you, Jesus. Let me give you another example. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, so then, those who have received his word, those who have what? Received. Say it like you mean it. Like what? Received. Receive. You're receiving it. Receive the word. Were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. So how do we respond? We're going to see some baptism. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great thing to see and a great thing to experience. But I want you to notice how the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, responded. In verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way, say it with me, what? Rejoicing. Can you imagine, like, what he was going through? At that moment, it became real. It wasn't just about a God of a distance. At that moment, it was God of a personal relationship. And he was excited, he rejoiced, he was baptized, he showed it publicly, and he was rejoicing. And this morning, we want to rejoice with some people. So I want to invite Charlie to come up here. He's going to introduce us to some people, and we're going to do some baptisms this morning. And by the way, Charlie is our family pastor, and notice what he's going to do. That's warm water, because in first hour, we learned our lesson. For those who are getting baptized.
Hi, this is Jesse, lead pastor for Two Rivers Bible Church. Our mission is to lead you to know God and to make him known. Our desire is that every man, woman, and child would have that opportunity. Our dream is that we could take a picture of heaven and represent it here on earth in the diversity that we're able to reach. Our hope is that you too could partner with us by sharing this message to your closest unchurched friends and family.